I mean, shocking news for everyone, I would imagine, even you.
Not at all.
Oh,
not at all.
Please.
I'm not shocked.
Here he is.
No, I'm not shocked.
This timing, you're telling me.
Here's the thing, okay? I listened to it, and I read the transcript of yesterday's press conference. I'm like, something is going to happen. I didn't know it would be Juan.
Right. I agree with
but
that.
But I felt something was going to happen. So I don't know how you found out. So I got up early today because I wanted to make sure, because I know I was taping the Green Zone show today with Dan Klecko, and we want to have something to talk about. So I watched the TV tape. What did I see? I saw a defense that didn't challenge, that got no pressure on the quarterback, and I'm thinking, this is the second straight game where I felt that this defense had no chance to get to the quarterback. Pittsburgh game. Yeah, they were disciplined on the back end, couldn't get to the quarterback. Three straight games, as you said, it's 14 quarters. They haven't gotten to the quarterback. What is going on here? Something had to happen. You want to point at Jim Washburn? You want to point at Juan Castillo? Point at somebody. Someone's got to take the blame for this.
So what changes with this defense now with Todd Bowles? And what do you know about Todd Bowles?
Here's what I know about Todd Bowles. Guy's worked with a lot of really talented coaches around the National Football League. He's worked under Mike Nolan. He's worked under Wade Phillips. Yes, he's done a lot of 3-4 work, but it's not about the scheme. It's about what you do behind it and what you do schematically. And I think what he'll do is, I think the blitz percentage is going to have to go up. In fact, it will go up. I'd be stunned if it didn't. So I would expect it to go up because that's the way they're going to have to get pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah.
Communication between Washburn and Bowles is going to have to be great because I don't know what has happened here since last season when they had 50 sacks under the same staff. Now you take Castillo out. You have Bowles here. What's he going to do? I think he's got a blitz, and I think he's going to have to disguise, and he knows about disguising.
You know, that's the thing. You and I, and Ike Reese spent a little bit of time together on Sunday night, and one of the conversations we had was Juan and devising blitzes, creating pressure. Yes. Jeremiah Trotter and I spoke about it. You have to be creative in this process. You have to be clever. You have to fool a quarterback and an offensive coordinator that have spent all week looking at everything you've ever done.
You have to have a feel for it.
And Juan didn't have that, did he?
No. And I think that was the biggest downfall. Because when you look at the numbers, Eagles are very good with points against and yards against.
And third downs.
But awful, and you could argue this is the most important stat, negative plays. Absolutely horrendous. Turnover numbers, not good. Sack numbers, awful. And here's another thing. If you're the owner, okay, if you're the owner of Jeff Lurie and you're shelling out all this money to this D line and this secondary and you're not getting results, put pressure on the head coach. Not that Lurie did that, but you would at some point you're going to say, what are we doing here? Why aren't we getting production? But I think Andy took it upon himself, and I asked him in the press conference, when did you decide to do this? Well, when Andy had a chance to take a step back, which was yesterday, knowing he had a bye, it's interesting that was the first decision that he made was to do this. But the offense is not without shame here. They've had their issues.
Of course. And that leads to the next question.
Yep.
Andy was here in the studio, certainly non-committal. Michael Vick is the starting quarterback, he said. All he can speak about is right now. Because he hasn't gone through the process looking at everything.
That's right.
Might we see a substantial move here in the weekend?
Here's a question. Since you just said that, and being there at the press conference and hear what he's had to say, and he talked about it in his press conference yesterday, are we to assume that he started on defense? With the review of the first six games, because he fired the defense coordinator.
Oh, could there be personnel changes on defense? Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So has he even gotten offense yet?
Maybe not. So, I don't think so.
Yeah. So could there be other coaching changes here?
I would be surprised with other coaching changes.
Yeah.
I don't think that you have an in-house kind of candidate necessarily as you did with Todd Bowles waiting for.
Right.
You know, if there was a move to be made there. Now, does that mean Marty Morningwig's, you know, happy with the performance of the offense through six games? No. Does that mean that Bobby April's happy with the performance of the special teams through six games? Absolutely not. But I don't think there's guys you would say, hey, we have a better solution here.
No, but I thought Andy was very telling in this press conference. He, based on his years here, it's when he's not making a move, he makes it very clear, this is my guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't back anybody.
Was his guy, right?
No. I mean, that is... And what he tried to do and make it clear is he kept saying, hey, I want to be honest with you guys. No one was that without reproach here. I may make some more moves. And I've never seen him act like this.
What does it mean to you that Andy Reid's made this move? It was asked, is it a sign of desperation? No, it's a sign of doing what we think is best for the Philadelphia Eagles. We all know that Andy's got this mandate of whatever number of victories is threshold. What do you think?
Here's what I think. I think he looks at this defense. Let's start with that because that decision was made today. And he sees 7 sacks when they had 50 last season. You could tell he was really mad in his press conference yesterday. Mad as I've ever seen him. And listen, he made this decision to hire Juan as a D coordinator. And seeing how this defense has regressed with pressure, someone's got to take the blame for this.
Yeah, what happened to the defense that we saw against the Cleveland Browns? We had a caller earlier who said that, you know, and I loved the comment from Baltimore about how the Eagles were cheap shot and how they were thugs against the Ravens.
Right.
That hasn't been the case here.
Dave, I watched the TV tape. I only watched the first half because that's when I found out
about it.
It's become
a finesse defense.
What happened? First of all, straight, they didn't always do the wide nine also. It's the first point. Straight 4-3. I only did the first half charting. I counted.
Sal said 7 times they blitzed Stafford.
Okay. In the whole, that's the entire game.
Yeah.
Okay. I counted in the first half 2 stunts and 1 twist. You could argue there were 2 blitzes. I'm not sure about that, but it's about as vanilla as I've ever seen this defense. And I know they are very disciplined in the back end. They still played very good defense overall, but it's about negative plays. They got nothing in the first half. Yeah. Nothing.
And you can't be vanilla for 4 quarters in the
NFL.
No,
you can't. And
then when he changed it up, the blitzes, and I know you haven't gotten to that point,
yeah.
but the blitzes don't get home because quarterbacks go up to the line of scrimmage, and these are very elementary blitzes the Eagles are throwing.
Dave, let me give an example, okay? 2 weeks ago against the Steelers. You see what the Steelers do, okay, on defense. They disguise, and this is called pre-snap and post-snap phase. This is from sitting with Ron Jaworski and Greg Cosell for 10 years. They've told me so much about disguise. What you do before the snap should not be what you do after the snap. Certainly not always. That's been the problem. What Juan would do pre-snap, you'd see the same thing. They knew Roethlisberger knew exactly what was coming. That big play to Heath Miller.
Yeah.
They show 7-man blitz. They just ran upfield. He just threw it right to Heath Miller.
With a convoy in front of him.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So I'm expecting more disguise. It's not about 4-3. It's about what you do behind it.
Okay. While we're pontificating here, the future. Talk about the week ahead. What will Andy Reid see when he gets to the offense?
He's going to see an offense just like a defense that is completely underachieved. Let's be honest. When you're playing with 2 backups on the offensive line, you're going to have problems. There's no question
about
that.
Other teams do it.
Well, you could argue that Jason Peters is the best left tackle in the National Football League, but you could also point out that they were expecting Demetrius Bell to get what he's being asked to do and be more consistent. He has not been. Howard Mudd is going to have to do a better job with this kid. And, you know, they've kept Dallas Reynolds here for 3 years, okay, on the practice squad. Now he's having a chance to start. He needs to play better. They need to help him, okay? You need to help your guys. If you got to keep a 6 guy in on half the plays, and you do that, whatever it takes to win that game that week, you got to do, and you got to take some latitude here. You can't trust your offensive line anymore. I mean, I know historically they've always said, hey, we're not going to help them if they can handle it, then we'll help them. Well, you know what? It's not working. Yeah. How does this offense with all this talent not scoring?
Yeah.
What's
your read on the quarterback?
My read is this. There's a short leash on the quarterback. If he doesn't start playing more consistent, this one great game and the bad next game.
And you're going to turn it over to a rookie quarterback.
Not yet. But at what point do you say enough is enough? Now, they're 3-3. They're only a game back in first place. They've got a chance. Certainly got a chance. There's 10 games left. But, you know, would you rather him wait till week 10?
No. There's a lot of season to go.
Yeah. That's
one
my point.
One game behind in NFC East, it's wide open.
I've been asked this repeatedly today. Do you agree with this move? On defense, absolutely. But I want to see something change on offense. This whole team is underachieved.
What do you want to see on offense change?
What
are your realistic options to change on offense? You're not going to change a coordinator.
You're going to help the guys who are struggling. And the interior of the offensive line
is it
has
the
been
play calling been terrible?
I think it's got to be better. I think more. You've seen over the last couple games to help Vic out in the offensive line more 3-step. Okay, and it's worked. Okay, clearly define that read. Get the ball out of his hands.
It hasn't put
against
more points on the board.
Well, they're going to have to keep doing it. And you saw on the crosser, Dave. 1-2-3, ball out, touchdown to Macklin. And as Andy kind of alluded to. Yesterday, he said, listen, another thing is the quarterback's got to move a little bit. The pass would have been for another touchdown. Vic just stood there, and the D lineman deflected it. Move a little bit.
Yeah.
This is something you and I have talked about on Eagles Live all season.
But that's not the play calling. That's executing
the play. Yeah, could
the play
calling? I know.
Other than shortening up the drops.
Okay, let me give you another one. I know the argument is that they could not run the ball at all against Detroit. I get it. But they couldn't run the ball against the Giants in the first half. Three rushers for 2 yards. And what did they do in the second half? They came out running the football. I think the self-scout, they got to figure out a better way to run the football. It's a joke that McCoy has not been a major factor this season.
And that's Howard Mudd who devises the running
game. He does. And along with the offensive coordinator about how that, you know what, communication's got to be better. How are you going to run the football better?
Yeah.
Okay. This team is severely underachieved. Let's not sugarcoat this thing. Okay. I think Annie kind of alluded to that. It bothers him from a purist standpoint. We're both purists here. This team ought. I know that they've underachieved significantly. I predict this team to be 10-6. They're going to have. Could they go 7-3?
Well, I don't know. Andy Reid has a 68% winning percentage after the bye week in his NFL career. Eagles have to get to
and
that.
And he's never fired a defense coordinator during the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like this. I mean, things are changing here. And this is, we're on uncharted waters here.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's been that way the last couple of years here. Adam Kaplan, we thank you very much for joining us in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.